Done without one of these anyhow. That thank the Lord for these new technologies we have in our day. So good to be here. Good to see you. I mean that. I would say I feel so unworthy to be up here. I mean that from my heart. And if the Lord don't help us, we'll be in trouble. You're aware of that as well as I am. We need His presence. Need His power. I know what it is when He lifts me up above and beyond myself into a realm that only He can bring me. I know what it is. But I also know what it is when it doesn't happen. There's a big difference between having something to say and having to say something. Big difference. You're aware of that as well as I. Yesterday we had the privilege to sit under two awesome sermons. Yeah, I think everybody that heard those sermons would say amen to that. I even have to brag on Barry. My. There's a lot of things I could tell you about Barry. Before he got saved, he used to come down to my house. And I've got a son that's a little younger than he is, another son younger, and a daughter. And, well, maybe I ought to leave that alone. He said I ought to leave it alone. Maybe I should. You just remember that I know these things. It's so good to be here today. I mean that. I appreciate Robert and Kelly. And a word of thanksgiving to all the ladies for the wonderful meal and all the provisions. The basket that's in the room and the ladies' gift last night and the tie. By the way, I'm wearing my tie they gave me last night. My wife likes it, so that's the thing that's important. Thank you for your kindness here in this church. You've been so good. And the Lord bless you for what you've done. You know, I think of David when he went, you remember, he fled from Absalom and went way up in the country there. And what was the man's name that came and brought beds and all the stuff? Well, the Lord took note of every little item that He brought to David in that hard time. Yeah. Well, I'd say to this church, the Lord took note of everything that you've done for this group of preachers that's here. And He'll reward you for that in days to come. I believe that. Well, it's so good to be here. Share just a little bit with you before I get in the message. My dad was an old-time mountain preacher. Born in 1900, got saved around 1918, and then the Lord called him into the ministry. And he preached 45, 6, 7 years in the mountains of North Carolina. He always prayed. He said, Lord, would you let the mantle fall on one of my sons? Now, you studied your Bible. You know what the mantle was. Elijah put the mantle on Elisha. He said, Lord, would you let the mantle fall on one of my sons? Well, the Lord didn't stop with one son. I had a brother that was a preacher, pastored. He's dead now. And then the mantle fell on me to be a preacher. I never wanted to be a preacher. Honest, I didn't. I never wanted to be a preacher. But when the Lord deals with you, you yield. But when the mantle fell on me to be a preacher, but the Lord didn't stop there. Down the road, a grandson, Barry Rackley. The mantle fell on him. And then a little later on, the mantle fell on Ricky. My. And now the mantle fell on a great-grandson, Jonathan. My. And Stanley Adcock. Anybody know Stanley Adcock? My. Mantle fell on him, a grandson. My. That's awesome. When Barry was up preaching last night, hand of the Lord on him, I could almost see my mom up in heaven saying, preach, son, preach, son. Woo. She loved the things of the Lord. Boy, I tell you, I've seen her set it on fire sometime. Get up, give testimony. God come. And boy, help us. We need that, don't we, these days? Well, I'm just grateful for what the Lord done in the family. Outside getting saved myself, the second thing that happened, best thing, was the day my dad got saved. That meant I had a Christian home to be brought up in. And I'm thankful for that. So the Lord's been good. And then I think, well, how about Kelly? Well, that's Barry's sister. She's married to a preacher. So I came out of a family of preachers. I know what it is. be around churches. I've sensed the burdens of pastors. My dad being a pastor, and I've seen him share burdens and the burdens of the church and labor under those things in his life. Well, so it is. So it is. Well, today I want to speak, and you pray for me that I'll be in the will of the Lord. In Luke chapter 18, I want to speak today on prayer, and if you'll be prayerful and help me, well, then the Lord will show us something, help us along the way. Our Lord is speaking in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? One other verse found in the book of Hebrews, and we'll get into the message that the Lord would help us. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 6, a very familiar scripture. Paul, I believe, wrote the book. The main important thing is inspired of God. Verse 6, he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to talk about prayer a little bit this morning. I believe that's a real need in our day, is prayer. Father, I plead today for Jesus' sake, you be pleased to speak to my heart, that I may be a blessing to these, your people. I ask, Lord, you'll bring through my mind and heart those things I need to say. Set a watch by my lips. Don't let me say anything that I shouldn't say. I pray that you'll get honor and glory. I pray if there's some illustration that I need to use, bring it to my mind, and I'll be grateful. Use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin with this morning, I would say to you, there's some four distinctives in real prayer. Four real distinctives. You remember I read the verse, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The first distinction in real prayer, I believe, is that of worship. 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 Now, that's important. What is worship? The meaning of the word, it has to do with reverence. Reverence. You remember when Mephibosheth came and he fell down before David and he did reverence. He recognized he's in the presence of the king, and there was a reverence on his part. And then 2 Kings 17:36, it talks about worship. And this word simply means a prostration of oneself before a supreme being. That's what it means. It's worship, getting down before the Lord, before him. Illustration here. My son Matt lives across the road. He's got a dog called Jesse. And Jesse comes over to the house, a little Jack Russell, white. And he'll come to me and I'll be on the porch and I'll say, no, Jesse. And you know what he'll do? He'll get down, just lay down, stick all 4 feet up and look up at me. He is longing for just a word or just a touch. That's simply what worship means. You're down prostrate before him and you're desiring just a touch, just a word from him. That's what it means. Boy, when you get in real prayer, it's an attitude of worship. You need to understand that. Worship is the act wherein the devout soul prostrates itself in before God in divine submission.
Amen.
Divine submission. Well, think about this. This will help you in worship. If you really want to know something about worship, then think of the Lord. I like to think of God. I think of all his natural attributes. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's immutable. He's omnipresent. Those are natural attributes. How about the moral attributes? He's a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy, and on I could go. That's the God that we're before. He knows all there is to know about everything. And that's the one we're down before. Boy, you look, you think of that a little bit. He knows even your thought. He observed you when you sat down in that seat where you're at. He's omnipresent. He's in this building and knows all about us. Boy, that ought to help you when you pray to get down before an awesome being like that. Not only does he see you, he knows the thoughts of your mind. He all knows all about you. He knows where you've been last week, what you said, your attitudes, everything. And you're down before someone like that. Boy, that has to do with worship. That'll help you to bow down before him in submission and knowing that he knows all there is. Then you might think of his different offices. He's high priest, advocate, intercessor. Think of him and his name. I think of this. He's the Son of God, Son of Man. He's the Lord. He's the King, Savior, a Judge, Creator, Word, Christ, Jesus. He's the Holy One. All those names of his individual being ought to help you to be able to worship. Well, now, when you've got down before him and realized who he is, and you prostrated yourself before him, then what are you going to do next? That's worship. You're in submission. The next thing should be confession. Amen. Anybody in here perfect? Anybody in here perfect? The preacher asked that one time. The man way in the back raised up his hand. And the preacher said, "You mean to tell me, sir, you're perfect?" He said, "No, my wife's first husband was." No, we're not perfect, ladies and gentlemen. None of us are. We're not perfect. How long has it been since there's been an honest, earnest confession of sin? Our shortcomings, our failures. Hey, you better listen to this preacher. If we want God, there's going to have to be confession of our sins. He knows. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. You know what the word confess means? It means to say the thing, same thing that God knows with a repentant attitude. That's what it means. And when you're honest with confession, guess what? He's going to forgive you and cleanse you. Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin? Well, I like that. I believe sin will break your fellowship with God. If you're saved, sin breaks your fellowship. That word fellowship. Oh, I used to be on the radio years ago, and on the radio before me, I had a Pentecostal preacher preaching. And he told folk how bad I was. And then I'd preach, and the fellow after me, he was Pentecostal, and he corrected everything I said. How do you like preaching a situation like that for a while on the radio? You better know what you're saying. Hey, when I got in the book of 1 John and began to see that, hey, sin breaks your fellowship. It doesn't rob you of your salvation. Breaks your fellowship. I don't know about you, but I like fellowship with the Lord. Oh, isn't it sweet to have fellowship with the Lord? And there's going to have to be a confession if it's real prayer. And that goes for preachers as well as anybody else. It has to be confession of our faults and failures and shortcomings. How long has it been since you've been able to say, sing that song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior"? Boy, isn't that precious? When everything's right. Well, confession is very important. That's the second thought in real prayer. So it is. Well, if you ever worship, that second thing will fall into place and you'll confess. Then the third thing in real prayer is that of petition. Petition. Now, petition or prayer is for one step. Has to do with the personal needs that we have. Don't we have needs, ladies and gentlemen? In this life, personal needs. We all have personal needs. And the third thing in real prayer is that of petition. Taking our prayer to the Lord, making our requests known unto the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that is so important. You know that as well as I. Prompting of our petition, there's many passages of Scripture that give us information about a loving Heavenly Father that wants to answer and hear our petition. Yes. Well, I like that. Aren't you glad that He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we're able to ask or think? He has the ability to do that. And we can go to Him and bring Him our burdens and our care. I like the verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Well, that word come, that's one of the greatest words in the Bible. Come. That requires some action on your part and on my part. I mean, make an effort to go to Him. And He said, come. Well, I like that. I like that in Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you pray, you enter into the closet. And when you shut the door, pray to the Father in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret. Sometimes I go down my study and I take my cell phone. It's always in my pocket. But I've learned to shut the door. I turn the cell phone off. And then I have a wireless system that goes into the study from the house. And I've learned to take the battery out of it and close the door and pray. Oh, I like that. That may not do nothing for you. But to get there where the Lord said, I'm there in that secret place. And you begin to pray, you worship, you begin to confess your faults and failures and sins and shortcomings, and you got forgiven, then you begin to petition. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you, somebody else shows up. Well, I like that. You're all of a sudden in the presence of God, and you're making your petition known to Him. So you can come. That's one of the greatest words in the Bible. Boldly. That's with courage and confidence. At the throne of grace. I'll tell you something. That throne you go to, the only thing that's dispensed there is grace. Have you ever merited anything before the Lord? Have I ever deserved anything? Not a thing. You haven't either. But aren't you glad it's the throne of grace? Unmerited favor. There's mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Boy, I like that. That may not help you a bit, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved down the road, there's going to be a day when you're going to need this. The Lord said, and when you pray, He didn't say if you pray. He said, when you, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you're going to pray. He's going to create circumstances that you're going to go to and count on Him. I still believe Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And sometimes He works a trial or test in our life. And boy, you're going to need Him. You better learn to pray. You'll find His grace is sufficient. Well, it's a throne of grace and mercy. Mercy is the compassion of God toward us in our unworthy state. Grace is kindness granted without expectation of return. It speaks of the free heartedness of the giver. Unmerited favor. I like that. How about in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10? He said, ask and you shall receive. He said, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That means continually ask and continually knock. And He said, then He'd answer your prayer. I like Philippians 4, 6. In nothing be anxious. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I love this little word, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Well, I like that. Up in the mountains, the old mountain people used to say this, and they'd be talking about a situation, circumstance, or a direction. They'd say, I got peace about it. One used to wonder about, what do they mean, got peace about it? One day I read in the book of Colossians, and it said, let the peace of God rule. And I looked up that word rule. It means to umpire and referee. I love to play basketball. I did. I'm not able now, but I used to. I know what it is to play the game, and I know what it is for the ref to blow the whistle. I violated the rule of the game. You ever go a certain direction and all of a sudden God blows a whistle in your heart, you know you better back up. You're not going the right direction. But isn't it good when you got peace to go a certain direction? Boy, I like that. He said, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. I like that. Able to make petition, and that's according to the scripture. Well, now there's conditions of prevailing prayer. I like this verse, Psalm 66, verse 18. This verse said there, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That word regard means to have respect to. Iniquity. If you got sin in your life and you're having respect to that, you're not willing to deal with it, there's no need for you to pray until you get willing to deal with it. I remember when I went away, I didn't go to Bible college to be a preacher. I was already a preacher. I went to study. I remember I lived at 1 Berea Lane, second year Bible college. And out in the utility, I had a little cushion out there I could go and pray. Close the door. But out there in my utility room, there was my toolbox. And there on the top of my toolbox was a wrench. It's what you call a dog bone. You've seen those. It's got sockets on this end, sockets on this. And there it lay on top of my toolbox. When I was riding a bicycle in the mountains of western North Carolina, by the way, and you lived out in the country and you were trying to get to the forks of the river or up at the Alligator Rock, boy, you need the bicycle. And I tell you, if you was out in old long rural country roads, you needed a wrench if the chain come off to get it put back on. And I borrowed that wrench from over at Rosman in the garage over there when I was riding a bicycle. But somehow I forgot to take it back. And all those years I had that wrench. Dr. McAbee, you know where I'm going. And every time I'd get down to pray, that wrench was on the top of my toolbox. And there it was. And I tell you, when I could pray up to it, and then I'd try to pray around it, and I tell you, that thing just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It must have got 6 foot long. How many times have I left out that prayer closet defeated because I didn't deal with that? One time, I made up my mind when we were going back to North Carolina. I went out to the toolbox and got that wrench, and I put it in my little Volkswagen. We headed back to the mountain. I went to the garage, McCall's garage over in Rosmanberry, and I called him outside. And I said, when I was a boy here, I stole this wrench from your garage and I want to bring it back to you. And I'm willing to compensate you, pay you anything. I just want it to be free. He looked at it. He didn't even remember. That's how long it'd been. He took it. He said, you brought it back. That's enough. Turned and walked away. But guess what? I never have seen that wrench since in my prayer life. Hey, are you listening? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear. So it is. We must be frank and earnest with Him. If there's something you have need of, ask Him. He's a reward of them that diligently seek Him. Well, one last thought here on this, and this is really the introduction of what I was going to preach. One last thought in real prayer. There's something else. There's what's called intercession. Intercession. Now, up to this point, there's been only two people involved in prayer. You and God. But then, when you get down to this point of intercession, there's always at least three people involved. You and God, and then someone else. And be around the world. Aren't you glad that when you sometimes get before the Lord, you got that intercessor inside, and he begins to burden you and tell you about somebody's got a need down the road? I was praying last week on Saturday night, and while I was praying, all of a sudden my heart was so burdened for my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandson and my daughter-in-law. And boy, I mean, it just burdened, just overwhelmed. You can guess what I did. I interceded. That's intercession. It always includes three people. Aren't you glad there's no limits to intercession? Amen. Well, you can reach up to Him with the arms of God. You can reach out in China with the arms of God. You can reach out in South America. You can reach out on the mission field, the missionaries around the world through intercession. Yeah. Boy, I like that. We've got a great high priest who's seated at the right hand of the Father, whoever lived to make intercession for us. But then we got an intercessor inside. That's the Holy Spirit. when you're really in this burden of prayer and you're praying, boy, sometimes God burdens your heart with this and that and the other, and you're able to intercede for them. Those are four great truths that are involved in every prayer. Should be a part of your life. When you get through the petition part and the confession part and the worship part, and then, boy, it seems like that's when the intercession begins. And how precious it is when there's intercession. Well, this is a great blessing to see these things. So it is. Know many things about intercession. I won't go there. I want us to back up and look in Luke chapter 18 for a moment. We've saw the basic parts of prayer. And by the way, I'm not an authority on prayer. And I try to practice. You preachers know what I'm talking about. I can't say that I'm everything I ought to be in prayer in my prayer life. I come short. But aren't you glad of the privilege of prayer? Yes. Now here in Luke chapter 18, the Lord speaking, He said here, He gave a parable unto them to this end that men, in other words, the purpose of this parable is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought to always to pray and not to faint or to give up. That's what He's saying. Always pray. Don't give up is what He's simply saying. He's not telling you that you ought to go to the prayer closet and stay all your life in the prayer closet. That's not what He's saying. But I believe it's all right to say that He's talking about we ought to live with an attitude of prayer. Yes. Wherever we go, whatever we do. Right. We ought to always pray. And I know that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That has to do with the attitude. I know that we can't stay on our knees all the time. You know that and I know that. But He's talking about an attitude of prayer that we should be in at all times, praying without ceasing. We should separate ourselves from time to time and give ourselves to prayer. Well, whole life of the Christian should be a life of prayer and devotion. Well, aren't you glad that God's able to answer prayer? I think of my dad, and he founded Middle Fort Baptist Church in 1929. My grandpa on my mom's side of the family was Mac Powell. He was one of the deacons. Godly man from all I can understand. He died before I was big enough to know anything. And he's an old sawmill man. In 1929, he cut the timber and sawed the lumber to build the first building there in Middle Fort. And they got everything done that you could, but they didn't have no money to put the tin, to buy the tin for the roof. They gone as far as they could go. And they said, my dad went up the holler to the spring, gravity water. He went up the holler. Bear, you know exactly where the spring's at up there. He went up the holler, stayed up. They said he was gone 3 hours up the spring. To the spring, he's up there praying. He came back down the holler, down to where they were building the church. He'd been praying. About the time he walked back down the church, this old dirt road there, there was an old 29 model A model came into the road right in front of where they're building. Three men in that old A model, and Dad went down. He knew them. And he said, there's three of the richest men in the county, as money-wise. And they, one of them spoke to my dad. He said, preacher, how you doing with the church you got here? He said, well, we've gone as far as we can go. Said, we don't have the money to buy the tin to put the roof on. And this old man, I believe his name is Perry Gravely, one of them. I don't know the other two. But he said, preacher, we're riding down the road. And the Lord burdened all of us, spoke to all of us at the same time, and asked us to come up here and give you money to put a roof on your building. I didn't see it. I wasn't there, but I've been told about that time. He had a shouting spell. He went down the road, and I mean shouting, having the time. God heard his prayer. Amen. He got money to put the buy the tin to put the roof on. My, my. God's able to do that. That's special. You learn to pray. Pray. Down at Calvary in Greenwood, built our first building, built the auditorium, school, and we really needed the school building bad. And so I'd met with the men and we're talking about it. I said, well, preacher, how you want to do it? How you want to go borrow the money? We had $20,000, all the money we had. And I said to him, let's build this building, school building, by faith. Amen. They looked at me like, by faith. Well, they said, okay, we're going to build it by faith. Well, we took that $20,000, it put in the cement floor for the building. And was out of money. And I said, we're going to do it by faith. What do you do? My wife and I went over to the auditorium of the church and got on our knees down before the Lord. I'll never forget this. And we began to pray. The Lord would take care of that need that we had in the church to build that building. When I got through praying, the Lord gave me a verse in my heart. You ever had the Lord give you a verse? Whoa. And that verse came to my heart. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro on the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. I said, Lord, by your help, my heart will be perfect toward you. And every Sunday we'd receive a building fund offering. And that started that next Sunday. And guess what? The building fund offering that day was more than the general fund offering. And every Sunday the building fund offering was more than the general fund offering was. And that went on and on and on and on and on. There was one Sunday I needed $14,000. Just to be able to pay contractors that week. And I told the church about it and asked them to pray. Received the building fund offering, and we got $9,000. I said, Lord, you know we needed 14 to pay the contractors. And the service is over, and we started out, and this lady came up to me and said, preacher, you think you might be able to make it till next Sunday for that other $5,000? I said, I believe the contractor will work with us. She said, we've been trying to sell my dad's estate for 2 years and we're supposed to close next week. And if we close, that $5,000 will be here. Guess what? $164,000 when the building was finished. It was paid for. Amen. To God be the glory. Only God can do things like that. Prayer. Getting before the Lord and waiting upon the Lord. He's certainly able to do that. In this particular parable here, we've got, here's two characters. You got a judge and you got a widow. Two characters. It talks about this judge. There's two kinds of judges in Israel at that time. One was appointed by the Roman government or by Herod, and he was called a robber judge. He didn't act unless there was some money involved in it to come his way. Another was a judge that had respect to the law of Moses, and he was a good judge. But this judge, no doubt, he was one connected with Rome and Herod. He was a robber judge, they would call him. And this widow woman, she didn't have nothing. She's a widow. Now, this is a parable the Lord's given, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Now, you think about the situation. She comes into the courtroom where he's at and said, Judge, avenge me of my adversary. He would not. There wasn't no money involved. He didn't have time to mess with her. No doubt he had somebody to usher out of the courtroom. Maybe she came back the next day and then she was forbidden. He didn't have any time for her at all. He wasn't going to avenge her. Take care. Now it doesn't say what she needed. She didn't, how she'd been mistreated. It doesn't talk to about that. But he needed to act in her behalf to avenge her of her adversary. Something was wrong. But he wouldn't act. But guess what this woman did? She made up her mind that she was not going to be denied. She was going to be avenged of her adversary. Amen. And he would had refused to hear. I can see him as he leaves the courthouse, if there was such a thing. And I can see him as he go out the back door. She's waiting on him at the back door. Yeah. Judge, 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 what? Avenge me of my adversary. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Maybe he left and went over to McDonald's and she waited outside McDonald's. I don't know that he came outside McDonald's. She was there. Judge, judge, avenge me of my adversary. Boy, wherever he went, if he went down on the street to shop in the market, guess what? Down the market, she was there waiting. She followed him around. Judge, avenge me of my adversary. He would not for a while. But then he said, lest she continually weary me by her continual coming. And he avenged the woman of her adversary. Now the Lord is teaching us something here. Don't give up. I know this. All you like I am, you got burdens that you can't handle. Situations and circumstances over and above and beyond you. Wayward son. A wayward daughter, a financial problem, a domestic problem, a situation that you can't handle. He's teaching you and teaching me to continually come. He's teaching us that. Using this illustration by continual coming. I got news for you. God don't ever get in a hurry.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
We get in a hurry sometimes, don't we? We want it now. That's not the way it works with the Lord. You better wait and just let the Lord work it out in His time. But isn't it good when He does answer prayer? Some of you may have heard this illustration, but I'm going to share it and I'm through. You might know Ray Aiken here. Several of you know Ray Aiken. Ray Aiken, his mom was named Zella. She's Middle Fort Baptist Church. Hey, about five or six ladies in that church were women in prayer. Zella, her sister Dolly. Dolly was my card class teacher when I was a little boy. I can still remember her, and she'd take that picture of little Moses in the bulrush, and she'd tell the story of Moses. Tears would come down of her cheeks as she'd share that. Boy, she's a prayer warrior. My mom was a part of that group too. My. Had women in, I can still remember, they'd sit on right inside the church. And when Dad would get through preaching, these women would bow their head and they'd begin to pray softly, mumbling. You could hear them mumbling. And boy, so many times I felt God reach down, put His hand on the church. I've seen sinners get up and run out of the church. God came. I've seen Zella and Dolly come walking down Middle Fork with that big Bible in the arm. The Lord had burdened their heart to go visit somebody in the community. They didn't have a way to go except walk. And they went walking. Well, Zella got concerned about her son by the name of Ray. Ray's not here, so I love him, but Ray's bad news. I knew him. I'm not trying to be ugly to Ray now. He's saved and preaching. But he was bad news. I'm just telling you. Well, Zella and Dolly and those other women, Nora and all of them, got together on a Saturday night just specifically to pray for Ray. That was the purpose of their meeting, was to pray for Ray. Well, they prayed and prayed and prayed, and they got through praying. And one of them looked at Zella and said, "Sister Zella, you think the Lord's going to save Ray?" She said, "I don't know, but said I feel the Lord put a hook in him tonight. He may swim around the boat a time or two, but he'll be landed." Oh. A little over a week's time, guess who got saved? Ray Aiken got saved. Guess who's preaching now and pastoring the church? Ray Aiken. You think God's not able? He's able, ladies and gentlemen. Don't give up. So this parable is given that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Mom, don't give up for that daughter. Dad, don't give up for that daughter. Boy, I'm glad they didn't give up on me. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Don't give up. And this is the purpose of this parable. The Lord gave us this to encourage us to pray along life's pathway. Am I speaking to someone today? You've got a real burden and you've almost quit praying about it. Maybe you ought to get up out of your seat. Let's stand together. Maybe you ought to get up out of your seat and come down here today and just talk to the Lord a minute about it.